How many packages do you get delivered to your home on an average day?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. Average day, probably two or three. I've certainly had more than that at times. It's exciting, you know, when you want something, you put it together. When I'm ordering for my business, I can knock out a lot of boxes in one day. This week is a busy week because they're getting ready for the baby shower.
Because I'm wondering, does Amazon or FedEx judge me by the amount of packages that get delivered to my home? I got a text message alert from Amazon today that I have scheduled, and I kid you not, because it's never been this many in my life, I have 11 packages being delivered today.
That's a lot of packages.
It's a lot of packages. And the first thing I thought was, I'm so embarrassed. Like, they're going to look at me and be like, what is this lady doing that she's ordering 11 different packages that are coming to her house? I was looking, and it says the average routes the driver has between 200 and 300 packages a day to deliver.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of packages to have to deliver.
If you had to deliver 300 packages a day, wouldn't you rather that 11 would all be at one address? That'd be great. What if 280 of them could be at one address? That'd be awesome. Ordering and getting goods. Obviously, the longer that goes by, the longer that we have lived in this kind of world, the more products you tend to pick up online.
Yeah. If I'm home and I'm like, I need something, if Prime Delivery can get it to me tomorrow, it'll probably get to me faster than by the time I have time to get to Walmart or Target or wherever I have to go to pick up that item.
You can survive the next 48 hours without the thing being in your hand.
Do you want to know what's getting delivered today?
I would love to.
It's like Christmas morning. The Britney Spears book, The Woman in Me.
Nice.
Vitamin D. I'm trying to get rid of I have a vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah. Everybody needs that.
A Halloween pinata. I decided my family needs that. Eyeliner. Here's some mascara. New concealer. Oh, a new toddler car seat for my sister's car, because I figured we could use one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, Frontline. Here's the medicine for the dog, the ticks.
Nice.
Halloween tablecloths, shampoo, a leotard for my little one. She starts gymnastics today.
I mean, that's just good planning.
Three tubes of toothpaste, some yarn. Oh, a TI-84 calculator, graphing calculator for my daughter.
Awesome.
I mean, I think that there's more here than 11 things, and I'm embarrassed to admit it. It's been all over the news. A very common decongestant that many of us have used is now being discontinued because it doesn't actually work. What's that all about? Let's check in with the experts.
Healthwise with Dr. Wider, the Anna and Raven Show.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, I keep hearing about them pulling this stuff from the shelves, and I'm like, how did we use it for so many years and nobody was like, hey, guess what? This doesn't work.
We just got word that U.S. pharmacy chain CVS Health is pulling one of the most common decongestants that contains an ingredient called phenylephrine, the primary or the only ingredient, because it really only works topically. It doesn't work if you ingest it.
So wait, so what are some of the examples of it? It's like Sudafed, right? Isn't it certain kinds?
Sudafed is the big one. It's being pulled off the shelf. It's not for the ones that you spray in your nose. So that's important for people to realize. Ones that we're putting in our nose that we spray in work as a vasoconstrictor. It's the one that we're taking as a tablet or a capsule that doesn't work, and it can cause all sorts of side effects.
Doctor, what do we do here then, right? Because, I mean, I've run into a lot of people over the last week and a half. Nobody's breathing right. Nobody is breathing right now. What are we going to do?
We should look for those topical products. Like, if you need something over the counter, look for something that you can spray into your nose. A lot of people like saline drops that just loosens up the mucus and then you can just blow it out. Also, totally harmless if you use it correctly is a neti pot.
Oh, gosh, you can
No. People hate the neti pot. It also hurts if you don't do it right, but it definitely can stop all of the mucus.
I have thought forever, whenever I bought the Sudafed, like I was like, this does not work, but I continue to buy it all the time and always have it in my house because I figure it's supposed to work. I am floored.
Yeah, and when it comes to the neti pot, I am grossed out.
There's a science involved with the neti pot, and it's all about the angle in which you're leaning over the sink as you're blowing water through your nasal passages, but it can go way up and really cause a lot of pain. But you don't have to use that. You can absolutely use some of these nasal decongestant topical. You can shoot saline up your nose. You can try blowing your nose. You can sleep. You know, people that are congested overnight, if you sleep flat on your back, it's going to be much worse. But if you prop your pillows up, you can get some of the mucus to drain. I know this is less than a glamorous topic, but it's important because congestion gets in the way of our sleep. It's awful. And then you become a mouth breather and you're completely, you know, snoring and waking yourself up. And it's a disaster.
Is there any actual medicines that you can take that work? Or no, there's really not anymore.
What a lot of allergists and immunologists are going to recommend is the mechanical release of mucus out your nose. But unfortunately, it doesn't work for everybody. You know, there's nothing I can recommend orally. I'm going to go to the topicals if we're going to use that to try to relieve the congestion in your nasal passages.
One last thing. Do you believe that Vicks works or no?
The Vicks vapor rub?
Yeah.
A topical.
I can't say it doesn't work for some people. The scientific studies are a little bit questionable, but anecdotally, it relieves a lot of congestion for people and it stops people from coughing. It may be just breathing in the menthol, which might clear your nasal passages. It may actually work, and the scientific studies behind it just haven't caught up, or they haven't done enough because it's a topical product with menthol, but it works for a lot of people. And Anna, you know, there are many grandmas and moms across the country that have recommended the Vicks vapor rub on the soles of your feet. And I can't say it's backed by science, but there are tons of people that will say it works for them also.
Okay. Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Thanks, Jenna. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What if there was a place that you could just let it all out? You know, what's bothering you right now? Maybe you saw somebody do something or post something, or maybe the person on the road next to you did something while they're driving and you're like, come on, buddy. Here's your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Liliana.
If you're constantly comparing yourself to a friend or sibling, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh.
It's a young person's thing, right? I mean, you kind of learn past that at some point, don't you? Some people don't. Actually, you know what? Forget it. I know a lot of people that do that.
That compare yourself to other people?
Yeah.
I feel bad about it because I think it's a matter of jealousy. Don't you agree, Liliana, or no?
I think it can be jealousy, but sometimes I think it's just like pettiness or competitiveness or insecurity, you know?
Yeah, yes. I was going to say any one of those can be a factor. Insecurity can be a big one. And we don't always understand the motivations for insecurity. Doesn't make it any more healthy. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I always feel bad for people that envy others. To me, it just seems like, well, that's a sad existence, you know, that something went wrong.
Jason, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are an adult without kids and call chicken nuggets nugs or tendies, that's all I need to know about you.
100% agree.
Really?
100% agree.
You don't want to get some nuggies?
No.
Nugs?
Because you know why? When you say nugs or nuggies, it sounds to me like they've been half chewed on. Like, you know, sometimes your little one will grab one, right?
Mm.
They'll shove it in their mouth and then they're, you know, they had like three. But two of them ended up on the floor, or they're back in the box. And when you say nuggies, I think they've been slobbered on.
Aww.
You know what? I'll say something else. Chicken nuggets used to be a whole lot crisper at Mickey D's.
Well, you're going to the wrong Mickey D's. I always get Dakota the 6-piece chicken nuggets, knowing that she's only going to eat four, because those other two are for me. That's the mom tax right there. You hand over those two nuggies right now into mommy's mouth.
Okay, example.
Mm-hmm.
By some chance, you haven't gotten your hand in there to get the second one yet.
Yeah.
Okay? And you've been thinking about this since you decided you guys were going to McDonald's, since the order was placed, and since you drove away from the place now. You reach in and you discover it's half chewed, been thrown out the mouth.
I still eat it.
Thank you for the clarity.
It's a mama bird thing. It's fine.
That's why I'm going to go get my own tenderloins or chicken tenders.
Okay. All right, Christina, that's all I need to know about you.
If you refer to your pets as your children, that's all I need to know about you.
Stop it. Don't you talk about my sons that way.
I agree.
Don't you talk about my boys that way.
They're not your children.
Are my children.
I mean, you could love them like children.
Oh, they're my children.
But if nobody knows who you're talking about, and Raven does this often, actually, he'll be like, he's like, oh, me and the boys. And you think like him and his sons or like him and his friends. And you realize he's talking about two dogs that are under 10 pounds each.
No, one's 22 pounds.
Okay, yeah.
The very big boy.
Yep. He's my big boy. If right now somebody came up to you and said, hey, I need you to get on the stage and give a 40-minute presentation. You can do it on anything you want. I just need you to talk for 40 minutes. What would be the thing that you talked about? 1-800-330-9999. This was a meme that was trending. For some reason, I got stuck on it, and I just kept thinking about it.
If I needed to give a 40-minute presentation, different parts of my life, I could do different things. High school time, installing a stereo in your mom's car.
How about right now?
I'd probably leave it to the experts. I mean, I suppose somebody would think that I could talk about radio.
I was about to say, I could talk about radio.
Mm-hmm.
I could talk about, like, I could nerd out for more than 40 minutes talking about radio.
I'll give you some word salad about doing interviews. No problem.
I could also talk 40 minutes about Zumba and the different kinds of dances and the different kinds of formats.
I could give a 40-minute presentation about knowing which one of my dog's chew bones are the other ones because they're always fighting over them.
Okay. I could give a 40-minute presentation about the do's and don'ts of social media because I've watched so many videos and read so much about it. I mean, I don't know if it would be accurate, but I could talk 40 minutes about it.
Mm-hmm.
Grace, you had to give a 40-minute speech right now. Presentation. No preparation whatsoever. What would be your topic?
It would have to be on some of the classic Disney princess movies, probably specifically focusing on like The Little Mermaid. I can do everything. I can we can talk about the plot. I can sing the songs. We can have a whole thing.
Finally, presentation I actually want to go to.
Yeah, somebody spoke reasonably.
Yes.
You can do reenactments and all that stuff. That'd be great. As a matter of fact, I'm here for pretty much any of the early Disney movies. If people would like to just line up and do one of those after another.
I would like to go deep dive all of the plots and the characters. I would go to an entire week's worth every day, a different 40-minute presentation about these Disney classics.
I mean, I don't know if I need to
deep
dive. I just want to sing and skip and dance.
But you got to talk about the villains, too. Yep. Like, the villains in the older ones were amazing. You got, Ursula, the evil stepmother. This could be a really good presentation.
Everybody hates Ursula. I feel bad for her. Terrible things must have happened to her. Like, Triton was her brother. There's so many things we could discuss, and nobody ever wants to have this conversation with me, and I can have that conversation with you during this presentation.
She hasn't gotten her solo movie yet, right?
Yeah.
Cruella, we understand so much more now, right?
Right. Yeah.
Where's that origin story for Ursula?
Paul, you have 40 minutes to give a presentation. No time to prepare whatsoever. What's it going to be about?
Hands down, it's going to be about travel. I've had a lot of travel experiences, and I've traveled a decent amount. I think the more people travel, the more their mind expands and perhaps becomes more tolerant. And I feel like it's the best education out there. And I definitely would talk about travel, no doubt. I think everyone should as much as they can.
If you had to give one tip to somebody who is traveling, what would be the most important thing they should know?
Watch your surroundings.
So it would be about
situational awareness.
Yeah, just being aware, because sometimes when you're traveling, people aren't in places. They're looking at their phone or they're looking at it. It's just very, you look like a target. The more you can try to kind of be a chameleon, granted, you go to Japan, you can't be a chameleon there. But nonetheless, I don't think you have to worry as much about safety. But when it comes to some of these other countries where you're going to stand out anyway, another small tip, just get to know a couple of words in the language in the country you're going to. That tends to go a really long way with the people who live there, and they're probably going to be more apt to help you out.
That's good advice.
It is good advice.
I would say if I needed to know one thing when I'm traveling somewhere, Anna, is how to get home.
Right.
Right.
It's a meme that was trending. If, without any preparation, you were asked to get on stage right now and give a 40-minute speech on something, what would the topic be? For some reason, it stuck with me.
I'm an expert. I can tell you the exact amount of the spicy chicken you want to put in the bottom of a P.F. Chang's lettuce wrap.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They'll always bring you more lettuce. Don't worry.
I could talk to you about how to make the right pizza.
Oh, yeah?
You know? Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the restaurant business. My dad is a pizza maker. I've spent my whole life doing it.
You know what would be more interesting to me? How do you sleep on pizza boxes? Because you did that, too.
I did sleep on pizza boxes. I don't know if I could talk for 40 minutes about it. It's basically just lay down and go to sleep.
Become exhausted enough.
Right. All right, your turn. 1-800-330-9999. Amelia, you have to give a 40-minute presentation right now. No preparation. What's it going to be about?
Something that I've been thinking about for a while. What is my guiding principle? And I'll tell you, I finally defined it. I put it in my diary. Laugh easily and think deeply. That's what I'd give a talk on. The importance of finding humor, finding joy, even in challenging times. And it's gotten me through. As far as thinking deeply, I mean, come on. We don't want to glide on the surface all the time. We have brains. We're human brainiacs, maybe.
Here's the good news. You've already gotten to 6 minutes in, I think.
Anna, if I'm thinking deeply, what happens next?
You're asleep?
Yep.
Right. Jonathan, you have to give a 40-minute presentation right now with absolutely no preparation. What's it going to be about?
The benefits of travel. If you talk to me about any city, whether I've been there or not, I can tell you what I would do if I were going to go there and what I've done if I have been there. Didn't really think much about this until some people sat next to me in the diner, visitors to my town, and started asking questions of the wait staff. And I talked for 15 minutes just then on, you know, why the town is here and why it's named as it is and what you can do and what you should do on a one-day itinerary. Friends of mine going to New York City, I live hours outside. They chose me. They said, you know, you're the guy we want to lead us around there. And we had the best time just based on what I knew and what I wanted to see there. Travel's vital to all of us, and I could talk about it all day.
I like the fact if you give a 40-minute interactive speech where people just yell out cities to you and you say the number one thing you have to do. I'll start. Seattle!
Oh, the tower, the Space Needle. All
right, Raven, your turn.
Chicago!
Oh, man. Willis Tower, the Miracle Mile, Chicago River, Thick Trust Pizza. Okay. Do it. Do it all.
Okay. All right.
Boise! I did that on purpose. Doesn't count. Sorry, Boise.
When you think of Halloween, you think about candy. And joining us, it's Carly Childhouse from the National Confectioners Association. You can find them online at candyusa.com. Oh, Carly, it's that time of year where I've eaten way too many Kit Kats.
Happy Halloween season. I'm glad to hear that you are one of the many Americans who is extending the Halloween season and getting really excited about it for even more than just October 31st.
We had a couple on that they were having a disagreement because they didn't want to hand out candy on Halloween because they just didn't want like kids in their yard and all that. But I'm looking at your site and it says, and I thought this was really interesting, 98% of Americans welcome trick-or-treaters, hand out chocolate and candy.
Yeah, so the 98% of Americans who are going to welcome trick-or-treaters are handing out chocolate and candy. You know, obviously, there are some other things that you can give out.
Yeah, but we don't want none of that stuff. When I see an apple, I just get sad inside. I'm a full-size candy bar type of guy, all right? I try and entice those kids to come back because our numbers have dwindled over the years. But what are the items, what are the candies that everybody's after?
Most Americans, 72% of people, are going to give out those mini pieces of candy because they're just that perfect size for sharing. But we did the hard research on what the top treats are. So first up, probably not a surprise, it's iconic year-round, is chocolate. Next up is gummy candy, which is interesting because more than 60% of Americans are looking for treats with a creepy or scary theme, and gummy treats are perfect for that.
Before you get to number one, Carly, I just want to say, if you really want to spook kids away from your yard, and don't give them gummies, give them popcorn balls. Nobody wants those. They're going to lose like 3 teeth trying to bite into one of those things.
They can be rough. Yeah. They can be rough.
Okay, what's number one?
Rounding out the top three is candy corn.
I'm shocked. You know, you either love candy corn or you don't. And in my mind, I don't like candy corn. But the minute I eat one, I can't stop eating them. It's like a weird addiction thing.
For me, it's just the addiction of the sugar. Like, I'm not going to finish, right? Or I'm not going to leave anything behind, right? So basically, I go through all my favorites first. Snickers are gone in the first day or two. Butterfingers to follow. All right, then after that, it's the Milky Ways. I'm going to knock them all out, Anna. And then at some point, if there's a popcorn ball in there, it could happen.
But you'll eat the candy corn?
I will, definitely. The only candy corn I won't eat is when it's loose in the bottom of the bag. Where'd that come from?
Right, nobody knows.
Where'd that come from? Whose hand has been on that?
Carly, is there a right way to eat candy corn? Like, are you supposed to eat them one by one or take them by the handful, like a handful of popcorn?
You know, that's the big debate happening across the country right now. So we found out that 31% of Americans are like me. When they eat candy corn, they're taking one piece and starting with the narrow white end and eating it color by color. 18% of people start with that wider yellow end, and then more than 50% just go for it.
What Raven doesn't know is right here in my hand, I have an entire package of candy corn.
Oh, that's not fair.
How many of these can you shove in your mouth at once?
What?
Yeah, let's just try and let's see. And then, Carly, you decide if it's
appropriate.
I don't have
to swallow them all, right?
You just got to put them in your mouth. Okay. Hold on. Let me video this. It feels important. Hold on. Go. This is disgusting. Mm-hmm. Carly, this is disgusting. Mm-hmm. He's lifting up his lip and he's shoving them under his lips. Mm. Now he's putting one underneath the bottom lip. Mm-hmm. Spit them out now, and then we got to count how many you put in there. Carly, take a guess on how many candy corns do you think Raven just shoved in his mouth?
I'm going to guess a lot.
My guess is going to be 37 candy corn.
Oh, my gosh. I had like 39. Like 41, maybe.
Let me see.
No, threw it out. It's gross.
Oh, wow.
I nearly choked to death, by the way. I hope everybody's happy.
Carly, thank you so much. CandyUSA.com. If you want to get all the stats on Halloween candy and anything you need when it comes to candy, they're the place for you.
Scary ingredients. Way too many syllables.
It's that time of year again. That spooky time of fear again.
It's time for Halloween Candy Autopsy with Anna and Raven.
Hey there, Mike. Today we're going to be playing Candy Autopsy. This is a super easy game to play, all right? All you got to do is listen for the ingredients that Anna is going to read to you from a popular candy in her witch voice. All right. Enduring that would really be the hardest part. Now, once you hear all the ingredients, if you can correctly identify what that candy is, you're going to win the gift card for Target, all right?
Sounds good.
Mike, are you ready for today's ingredients?
I'm ready.
The first ingredient is sugar, corn syrup, semi-sweet chocolate, chocolate, sugar, cocoa, milk fat, cocoa butter, soy lecithin, PGPR, emulsifier, vanillin, which sounds a lot like villain, but it's vanillin.
Wow.
Artificial flavor, invert sugar, egg whites, oil of peppermint, and milk.
I know what it is. I know what it is. What do you say, Mike?
I'm going to say, I don't know, peppermint patties, and mint has me thrown off a little bit.
That's what it is! Congratulations, Mike! You just won this Target gift card!
Thanks a lot.
What are going to be the hottest Halloween costumes this year? You still got a few days to figure it out. Joining us, it's Laura Feist. She is a costume expert. She does theater all over the place. She used to have a costume store, too. What are the biggest things we're going to see this year?
Well, I think no matter where we're looking, whatever age group we're looking at, Barbie.
So Raven and I were Barbie and Ken last year for Halloween. And I have to be honest, it wasn't because I really wanted to be Barbie and Ken. I just had a feeling that it was going to be a really big deal. And I wanted to be, when the movie came out, for us to already have those photos ready to go. And we did.
I got to tell you, I mean, half of the costume pulling it off, right, is really getting into character. That's why I was so proud of our good friends Ryan and Margo for reaching out to us after and asking us about how to pull it off. But you were right. Those costumes were absolutely huge this year. If only we had bought the stock.
Actually, I did buy the stock.
What?
I did. But Raven had to wear, Laura, I don't know if you remember, he wore the blonde wig for Ken.
Yeah.
And everybody kept asking if he was Kate Gosselin, which I thought.
I pulled it off well.
Yeah.
So we have Barbie. Obviously, that one's huge, especially with the movie this year. Some of the video game stuff, Princess Peach, again, I think that there's a movie or a...
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers movie came out. It's so funny because my little one, my five-year-old, asked if she could be Princess Peach at one point. She changed her mind 17 times for costumes. And I thought it was so interesting because she had never seen Super Mario Brothers. She never saw the movie. And I'm like, how does she know Princess Peach? Because it's just everywhere.
It's a great family costume. I saw a group the other day. Dad was the dinosaur, right? And the mom was Princess Peach. And the kids were Mario and Luigi. And they had the cart, push cart there. So it was Mario Kart on top of it. It was perfect. It all kind of came together.
Yeah.
Back to sort of the Barbie thing, but with that was sort of a mixed theme with Weird Barbie and a Harley Quinn twist.
Yeah.
Because Weird Barbie has all the markers in her hair and all that stuff. So we, you know, that was sort of one that came up. A Cruella de Vil with a Wonder Woman slash, putting some of your own spins on it. Then we go back into the traditionals. So your skeletons and your witches and the vampires and things like that. One of the couples or opposites or themed ideas, things like the Barbie versus the Oppenheimer.
Oh, you know, Laura, we have this unique, I don't want to call it a problem, but a unique challenge because kids and people always, for some reason, think Raven and I are married, which, as you know very well, we are not.
Nope.
But we always have to do a quote-unquote couple's costume together
that
for all the
couple.
Events.
Right.
Yeah, but we need a couple that's not a couple. So it's always been kind of a challenge to figure out what that is. This year, we decided to do Jesse and Woody from Toy Story. It's got to be one of our favorites because it's really like just a couple friends and, you know, you got a friend in me.
How do we do that every year from now on? Right.
Specifically couples or political twists. So Beetlejuice is making a comeback. It's always popular at Halloween.
My 14-year-old, Hayden, is obsessed with Beetlejuice. She made me take her to go see it on Broadway. She's obsessed with the movie. Beetlejuice was almost before my time.
Yeah, thank God for TikTok.
Right. It's like they've all come back. And she's got all the figures and the sweatshirts. And so it's weird when you see things that were old that are new again.
Oh, and Taylor Swift.
Yes. She'll kill me for saying this, but like Hayden ultimately decided to be one of Taylor Swift's songs is The Last Great American Dynasty. And she's going to be her. She's going to be that character from the song. So I think that the Taylor Swift fans have taken it a step further where they're not just Taylor Swift. They're different versions of Taylor Swift in her music.
That is actually really cool. Although that would be one of those costumes when someone knocks on the door and trick or treats. You're like,
who are you?
What exactly?
Right, yeah. Laura Feist, our costume expert. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you.
If you were listening yesterday, right about this time, we were talking about if you have really bad memory. And lately, I don't know what's up, but I can't remember anything. If I don't write it down, put it in my phone, make notes, set reminders, I am a hot mess.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to say like it's not like you're losing your mind. I just think that you're overwhelmed. You know, it's been a very busy time for everybody. It's not just you and me.
They say that stress, anxiety, being overscheduled, all those things contribute to memory loss. Exactly. So this guy on the internet was talking about this way to help you remember things.
There's this technique called memory castle that people have used for centuries to remember things. And so what you do is you imagine might be a place that you know, like a geographic place, a house. And then you can place the things that you remember. Imagine you walk through the house. You can place the things that you want to remember at different locations in the house.
Mm-hmm. So we decided to put it to the test. Now, yesterday, Raven gave me 5 objects. In my mind, I did what I was supposed to do. I sat, I closed my eyes, and I chose my own home because you know your own home better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I put those objects in my house in my head.
Now, to be clear, there was actually 3 objects and 2 trivial pieces. Okay. So this is where I wanted to give you a little bit of variety because, you know, I feel like, you know, if I just said 5 objects, it would have been super easy.
All right. Let's see if it works. Full 24 hours later.
Okay.
All right. In my head, the first thing you gave me was a cup holder.
A cup holder is correct.
Yep. That's when I walked into my front door and I put the cup holder on the front table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I got that right.
Yes.
Next, I turned right in my head and I went into my dining room. This is where it was so specific that I don't remember, but I remember that there was a picture that I said that I was hanging over, and it was something having to do with Mars and outer space. Am I close? Oh.
The next piece was the first trivial piece, and it was the planet Mercury is closest to the sun.
I feel like that's close enough.
No, you remember that Mars?
I knew it was a planet.
You just remember the word Mars?
Yeah.
That's it. It's not close enough. All right, here we go. Next room.
Next.
I've given you another object.
Yeah, then I walk into my kitchen, and in the center of my island, there is a banana keychain.
Yes!
Okay.
Wow!
All right, so that I remember. And then I walked outside on my back patio, and I know it's something having to do with Star Wars, but I don't remember what it is. It's Star Wars, but it was something that I would never remember anyway, Star Wars spaceship.
No, it's not a Star Wars spaceship. Make that, no.
What was it?
No. The Empire Strikes Back is Chapter 5.
Yeah, see? Close enough.
I mean, not close enough. All right. There's one more object left. I thought it was going to be the trivia pieces that would be more difficult. I did believe that.
I have to be honest. I know that I walk back into my house and I walk into my family room.
Yeah.
But I have zero recollection of what that last item was.
Yeah, because
zero.
It was the doorknob when you walked in.
Oh, the bronze doorknob.
That's correct.
Oh,
the bronze doorknob.
Oh, gosh. I should have remembered that you turned the bronze doorknob. How did I forget that?
I mean, you estimated 30%. You got 40%.
That's not so bad.
It's not so bad in 24 hours, given the fact that we had another busy day yesterday.
I have to say, this sounded so ridiculous when we were starting to do it, that, you know, the memory castle.
Yes.
It's not a bad tool. It actually really did help me. And I think it would be really good for kids trying to remember stuff for tests and memorizing things. Not a bad idea.
Now, if we could only use it to remember people's names.
That would be great.
That would be great.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. As usual, Travis Kelce is trending, but it's a little bit different this time, Raven. Travis Kelce's ex, Kayla Nicole, has come out to explain why she unfollowed the Mahomes on social media.
Okay. Yeah, because they used to be friends, right?
Yeah, they used to be really good friends. They would do a lot of things together, double dating. And then, obviously, Travis Kelce and her relationship was over, and now he's with Taylor Swift. And then, all of a sudden, it was all this drama in the news because she unfollowed the entire Mahomes family.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the Swifties, those fans, they're going to get in there. They're going to deep dive that information. The TMZ crowd, they want to know.
Right, so she did an interview with People Magazine, and she says that she had to talk to them and tell them that she was unfollowing them. The quote says, "The reality is I know these people in real life, and so in real life I've communicated to these people why I had to publicly make the decisions that I made." She says that they've had an ongoing relationship for many years, and she's always going to love them. And it's interesting because it's like, what does that conversation look like? And more importantly, do you need to tell people when you're going to unfollow them? Right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, again, certain circumstances, right? There's always the inside the circle of trust and outside the circle of trust, right? And then there's a million other people that want to go ahead and figure out what the perception is for their own, you know, angle. Right? That gives rise to their story, their version of events.
Do you think if you unfollowed somebody that you would have a conversation with them first about why?
I think if it's somebody that you deeply care about and my life is that public, I think that it may be required.
All right. So if you're an average person, what do you think? Let's check in with Karen Thomas. She's one of the country's foremost authorities when it comes to etiquette. Karen, do you have to tell people you're unfollowing them on social media? What do you think?
This is not a new norm by etiquette standards at all. However, in this situation where it's a celebrity and she's trying to distance herself from people, I think making a public statement is the correct way to go. However, let's say it's business and you stop following somebody or there's no more business to be done with somebody, you can certainly unfollow people without calling or telling them or alerting them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, listen, when there's millions of followers involved and it's a very public situation, people are going to point things out, right? You know that people are going to go backtrack and go through your messages and so forth. So I think in that case, it's not the worst idea. You're being preemptive, saying, listen, I still love you guys. I just can't be looking at this, dealing with this.
And that's what she really stated in her public statements, that, you know, this is what is going on. So there's various situations. And again, if it's a personal thing and you just end a relationship with somebody and you're not a major star, you really don't have to make a statement or even tell them.
All right, perfect. That seems easy enough and black and white, understandable.
This isn't the ex that called Taylor a 5 and herself a 10, right? Is that another one?
There's a few of them.
Because, well, you know what? Then we got to get in there and start doing some math over, okay? We got to get in there and start doing, because I don't know what scale she's looking at.
All of a sudden, the exes come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something to say.
That's true.
Karen Thomas, you can find her online at ktetiquette.com.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Louis and Fran. Fran, let's start with you. What's going on?
So we have a nanny that just left a month ago, and she was with us for 3 years. Loved her. She was amazing. Yeah, she was a little expensive, which I'm sure my husband's going to say. I want to just replace, you know, get another nanny, but my husband, he has a friend who has a live-in nanny from another country, and because we have another room, he wants to bring a total stranger into our house, and I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know what the vetting process is, and we were happy before. Yeah, we might save a few bucks, but I just don't think it's worth risking anything.
Louis, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much my buddy's had this live-in nanny for a good while now, and it's been great for him and his wife. I kind of suggested this. Fran's not into it, but, I mean, you know, there's more than saving money. Like, I used to be able to go out and dance with my wife all the time, and now I don't have time to do that because, you know, we got to, you know, it would be so beneficial to have this live-in nanny. You know, we got cameras. I believe I can vet her. I'm be honest, I'm not exactly sure what the vetting process was when he got his nanny, but they're happy. And I just think in the end, it can make us happy.
It's a lot of websites that do this now. It's actually very common, and I know a bunch of friends that have gone through this process. It's a safe vetting process, but you're right. It's a stranger from another country coming to live in your home to take care of your children.
Right, which is an awkward situation. There's going to be a learning curve, too. Mm-hmm. You're certainly going to have to get accustomed to each other. There's going to be an adjustment period. And the truth is that I've heard other stories, too. I've heard other stories where they show up, they get here, they move in, and then one day they're just gone. I've also heard that story.
Well, I mean, you can't hold them against their will.
Well, of course not. But, I mean, they show up and, you know, you think that they're going to be there for 6 months, 9 months, a year, whatever. I mean, obviously it takes time. Right. And then all of a sudden that person's gone 5 days in and they never return.
Yeah, the au pairs. You know, it's tough. I think if you work a lot, I can see why it's beneficial. It is cost efficient. It is. You have to provide their food. You have to provide their board. You have, you know, all those opportunities to them. But you're not paying $20 an hour like you would pay a regular babysitter or a regular nanny.
No, I understand why it makes sense, but...
Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Louie. What's the harm in trying? If you have the room and you both work a lot, it might be a great solution. But they could see Fran's side, too, where she's just not comfortable with a stranger coming to live in the house, and you know, she doesn't want to try it for a year.
And she doesn't like your dancing. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's a tough one whenever you have to deal with bringing somebody into your house to take care of your children. And that's exactly what Louie and Fran are having to deal with. The debate is whether or not they should get an au pair.
Yeah, she doesn't. Well, first off, they had a nanny. But, you know, to get a replacement right here, you know, Louis, he's got a friend. Their family, they've had some success bringing in an au pair from a different country, right? You get online, you pick somebody out, you see whether or not they're a match. They arrive there, they move in, they take care of your kids. Fran just says, listen, we had somebody local before. I don't know about this vetting process. This sounds crazy to me. We're going to move somebody into our house, a stranger. I'm not on board.
I see both sides of this, so I don't know what side I'm on. But what side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Ramon.
So I am the bad side, and because I was an au pair. Yes, they had male au pairs, not just girls. And that's actually a good, like, life experience for the kids. And they can't just think about the money they are saving. They need to think about the whole, like, culture exchange, you know?
Mm. I think that's something I hadn't considered, right? The diversity of it, you know, there's going to be some changes or whatnot, can be very beneficial to the kids, right? It is a learning experience.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. I love that he's a male au pair. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. It's hard when you have two full-time working parents and your nanny quits, so they move on to something else. It's time to replace them, and Louie has a new idea. Instead of hiring somebody local that just comes and goes depending on the hours, why don't we get a live-in au pair? They're less expensive, they're more available, and it'll make our lives easier.
They've got a guest room in the house. He thinks that financially it's a good choice. They've seen good results from a friend family of that, but Fran's just not comfortable. She says, I don't want a stranger in our house. We had a nanny before. Can't we just do that again? I'm not down for this.
You have any experience with this? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side because I would never mess with a mother's intuition. She has strong feelings about not having somebody strange in her house and taking care of her children. And I always go by the rule of if you're in doubt, don't. So there are so many other options. There's no reason to bring somebody into the house to make her uncomfortable.
Hey, Dina, whose side are you on today?
I'm on her side. I had an au pair, and while it's beneficial and less money, weekly up front, it's anywhere from $9,000 to $10,000. It's a lot of money up front, and the vetting process is very smooth, and they do vet thoroughly. But we also had to rematch au pairs because it didn't gel. She didn't gel with the kids, and that was an entire process because you have to re-find an au pair, and it's just a mess. It's like a full-time job. So I'm on her side.
I had a lot of people say to me, it is a full-time job because you have to be on all the time. You have to respond within a certain amount of time. It's an investment, but it's just like hiring anybody that's going to take care of your family.
I mean, I don't think that that's really a problem. You're talking about somebody moving into your house and caring for your children. Right. You should probably be doing your due diligence for a little while up to it. It's going to be time-consuming.
But it's also stressful.
It's like adopting a human. Of course it is.
Yep. Hey, Bob, whose side are you on?
Honestly, if the two of them can't agree, then they just shouldn't do it, no matter who says it.
So one person just has to stay home. or they gotta go find more money.
Actually, both.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Fran, our audience agreed with you. If you're not comfortable having somebody live in your home, then you're not comfortable. That's really what it comes down to. This has to be something that you're both open to. And if you're not, Fran, Louie, you got to understand that.
Understood. I do.
I mean, it's like having another family member. You know, they're going to be living with us. I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable.
Well, it looks like the audience agreed with you, so it won't be an issue moving ahead. You'll just have to figure out how to come up with that cash for somebody that is local.
Right.
Yeah, we've done it before. We can do it.
Absolutely. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't be Raven. Be Raven in pop culture trivia.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,300. Hey, Margaret, you ready?
Yes, I am. And you I'm more than ready.
You have your daughter, Lohana, with you. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Can you guys please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You guys sound so sweet and wonderful. I want you to understand it's my mission to destroy you in this game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Well, I want to give you the cash. So Raven's walking out of here. That door's going to close. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right, let's do this, ladies. Number one, Steph Curry isn't pushing his kids into sports. At the moment, they just play backyard sports. And he says he's trying to make sure that they enjoy just being a kid. Steph Curry plays for what NBA team?
No.
Number two, 77-year-old Cher says her 37-year-old boyfriend, A.E. Edwards, doesn't get most of her references because, and I quote, he'll look at me and go, I wasn't born yet. If something is a bummer, is it good or bad?
Bad.
Number three, states across the country are trying to get bills passed to limit the amount of money that can be taken out of crypto ATMs to combat scams. What does ATM stand for?
Nope. I don't know.
Number four, a list of the best horror movie villains puts Freddy Krueger from A Nightmare on Elm Street at number one. He's followed by Michael Myers from Halloween and Chucky from what movie?
No.
And number five, Eminem is selling mom's spaghetti in jars now, like actual jars of mom's spaghetti. And it's all thanks to a line in his 2002 hit song. What song is that?
No, we don't know.
You ladies, let me bring Raven back in. That's okay. Yo. That's okay. That's all right.
How'd they do?
Margaret and Loanne only got one right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Maybe they're really tricky. Maybe it was what I said. I didn't mean to intimidate you that much. I was just having fun. All right, let's play.
Number one, Steph Curry isn't pushing his kids into sports. At the moment, he just wants them to play backyard sports and enjoy being kids. He plays for what NBA team?
Plays for the Warriors.
That's right. You guys are tied. Number two, 77-year-old Cher says her 37-year-old boyfriend, A.E. Edwards, doesn't get most of her references because he'll look at her and go, I wasn't born yet. Yeah, if something is a bummer, is it good or bad?
It's bad, of course.
It's bad, right? Bummer is from the 60s. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Number three, states across the country are trying to get bills passed to limit the amount of money that can be taken out of crypto ATMs to combat scams. Fun fact, I did not know that crypto ATMs was a thing.
Oh, no, it's totally a thing because they get people to purchase and withdraw at that time. It's they're in gas stations. They're all over the place.
What does ATM stand for?
Automatic teller machine.
Say it again.
Automatic teller machine.
Automated teller machine. Sorry, it doesn't matter. You want anyway. Number four, a list of the best horror movie villains puts Freddy Krueger from A Nightmare on Elm Street at number one. He's followed by Michael Myers from Halloween and Chucky from what movie?
Child's Play.
And number five, Eminem is selling mom's spaghetti in jars now, like actual jars of mom's spaghetti.
Okay.
All thanks to a line in his 2002 hit song. What song is that?
Lose Yourself.
All right, ladies, I'm sorry. He took you down 4/5 to 1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And my name is Margaret.
And my name is Lohana.
And we can beat Raven.
Oh, you're so nice, though. Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you two. $1,400 tomorrow, Anna.
Thank you to Christy. She supplied one of the questions I used today. If you have an idea for a question, too, submit it at annaandraven.com.